I too wanted to welcome Pastor Cindy Bates with us. Cindy's a retired United Methodist pastor, has worked in many states, and is back to this area now here in Traverse City. So thank you for being here, and thank you for preaching today, bringing this a good message about the wows of life and its importance. Listen to these words, this song of praise from Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God of Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our trespasses. Happy are those to whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied in the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance. O God of our salvation, you are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength, you establish the mountains. You are girded with strength. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout with joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. And they shout and they sing for joy together. This is the word of God. For the people of God, thanks be to God.
Good morning, beautiful people of Traverse City. It is a joy to be with you this morning in this amazing place by the bay. My last 14 years in ministry, I was blessed to serve in Denver, Colorado. And every day, I got to see those incredible, majestic Rocky Mountains. But I miss the water of my native state of Michigan. So it feels so good now to be able to be back here in this place, to call it home and have the opportunity to be a part of a wonderful, vibrant, worshiping community like Central United Methodist. So thank you so much for welcoming me here this morning. It was the evening of Wednesday, July 19th, just a few weeks ago. I was looking out over the bay, not far from here, and I witnessed one of the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen. Maybe some of you saw that same sunset that evening. The sky became a kaleidoscope of movement and color and form. It was one of those mesmerizing moments when you couldn't take your eyes off what was before you because you wanted to know what you were going to see next. Just then, I began to hear a person standing close to me responding with, "Wow." And then a little louder, a powerful, "Wow." And then the exclamation became a very soft, "Wow." It was like a prayer of wonder, of reverence, of amazement. That vision of that sunset felt like an affirmation, even an assurance, that something far more beautiful, far more powerful than anything our human minds could grasp was very near. It was a transformative moment that I keep returning to in my mind's eye. in her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, Three Essential Prayers, Anne Lamott says, wow is often offered with a gasp, a sharp intake of breath, when we can't think of another way to capture the sight of shocking beauty, of a sudden unbidden insight or an unexpected flash of grace. Wow means we are not dulled to wonder. When was the last time you opened yourself to experience intense wonder and amazement, awe? I can't help but believe that anticipating and expecting wonder in our life is so important because it opens us. It opens us to what God might be saying to us. Writer and theologian Mike Iaconelli, in his book Dangerous Wonder, said this about wonder in our relationship with God. Tameness is not an option. Take surprise out of faith, and all that is left is a dry and dead religion. Take away mystery from the gospel, and all that is left is frozen and petrified dogma. Lose your awe of God. You are left with an impotent deity. Abandon astonishment, and you are left with meaningless piety. Pretty harsh words, but I think they ring true, especially in a world that has created so much to monopolize our time and attention and distract us from the wonder of God that is all around us. As I said, at the park earlier today, I was fortunate enough to be worshiping down at the park a couple of weeks ago when this congregation had that wonderful service of blessing of the animals. And you created this space where some holy wows could occur. I hope I never remember the little guy who was so carefully carrying his bowl of goldfish to be blessed. And he looked at that bowl of goldfish like they were God's greatest gift on earth. I want to be able to have that kind of perception of wonder and awe as a child. This morning, I am remembering one of those moments of awe and wonder that literally gave me an overwhelming sense of God's presence. It happened a few years ago in Cabo San Lucas. I had been invited there to do a wedding for some friends, and it's a lovely place to be invited to do a wedding. The first morning I was sitting there on my little private veranda overlooking the ocean and enjoying the view, when one of the wedding party came running up to me and said, Cindy, Cindy, come quick, the turtles are hatching. I had no idea what breathtaking miracle I was about to experience. There was a young man at the resort that was part-time lifeguard and part-time turtle guard. He spent his early mornings walking along the beach, looking for that trail in the sand made by the great mother sea turtles who always come back to that same beach every year to lay their eggs. And because there were many predators of the fragile eggs, including humans who sell them or consume them for their delicacy, this young man would walk the beach, find the nest, carefully dig it up, and take the eggs back to the hotel. And there he had set up this huge, unique kind of preservation station with fencing around it and proper documentation so you could read the date that he had found the nest, how long it had been there, when possibly the turtles would hatch. It was a way of him for him to diligently care for those little creatures until they were fully hatched and could make their way to the sea, the water of life for them. So that morning, when I made my way to the beach, there he was on his knees, just gently removing the partially cracked eggs from the nest and putting them into this larger tray of sand. You could see the look of wonder and awe as his eyes felt the tiny creatures move in that womb-like shell, trying to find their way to life. A large group of folks had begun to gather. Several of the hotel staff were there and members of our wedding party. And then there were guests that had heard about what was happening on the beach, guests from literally all over the world that gathered. You could hear many different languages articulating the excitement of the moment. Our young turtle keeper began to instruct us. He said that he would carry the tray of wriggling, nearly hatched turtles to within about 50 feet of the water. And we were to form two parallel lines, a corridor, if you would, that was a way of protecting the turtles from the flying birds and the crawling crabs. As the turtles made their way to the edge of the water, the powerful waves would shoot them back up onto the sand and almost always flip them over on their backs, making it very difficult for them to upright themselves. So as the waves swirled around our feet, we were instructed to stand very still until we could see where the turtles had landed. And then we were told to take one finger and just gently flip the turtle over so it could find its way to the water again. I was so naive, and this seemed rather, you know, tedious and precarious to be doing all of this. Finally, I just asked why we couldn't just pick up the turtles and carry them to the water. Our turtle keeper looked at me almost in dismay and said, "Oh, no, no, no. They must make the journey themselves through that sand. So when they get to the water, they are strong enough to swim." And I thought, kind of like us and life lessons that we need to learn in order to be fully called to who we are called by God to be. When the first turtle actually made it, you would have thought that the Detroit Tigers had just won the World Series. Our young coach stood there with a big smile on his face and said, "Run, Forrest, run." Then he said, "I love my job." It was an amazing, awesome, wow moment. Tears of joy came to my eyes, and it felt like God was very present saying, "This is what life is intended to be. Cheering one another on, picking one another up, helping each other find our way, and truly being open to the wonder and the awesomeness of life all around us." I'm so glad I didn't stay on the veranda that morning. It has been several years, and I still return to the power of that moment. It continues to humble me and give me a sense of reverence for the wonder of God that is all around us. The writer of our scripture this morning knew about the wonder of God's presence with us. O God of our salvation, you are the hope of all the ends of the earth. By your strength, you establish the mountains. You silence the roaring sea. Those who live at the earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. Our Hebrew ancestors were so open to a God of wonder and amazement, and I fear that our contemporary minds and eyes are not quite as receptive to experiencing the holy in that same way. Mary Oliver, in her quintessential reverence for life, wrote, "Truly we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have all the answers. Let me keep company always with those who say, 'Look,' and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads." I so relate to her words, and yet I am compelled to not keep my distance from those who do not have a place in their life for wonder and awe. Because I want to share my experience, hoping that someday, perhaps, somehow, something will click. And a perspective, an attitude will be transformed. And someone will have their first holy wow. Years ago, when I was first trying out my skills at being a young pastor, I met one of my parishioners at the hospital where his young wife had just delivered their first child. We stood together at that glass partition looking into the nursery, and this new father looked down at his newborn daughter and said, "Cindy, I think I've always believed in God, something greater than myself, but until now, I didn't really get it. And now, looking at her, I get it. I get it." Wonder, amazement, awe literally bring us to our knees, to a glimpse of the mystery of God all around us. Albert Einstein once said, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead." When we are paying attention, truly amazing glimpses of the holy can be seen all around us. And those moments of insight can be transformative and life-giving, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. A few years ago, I was fortunate enough to be able to study in France at the famous Chartres Cathedral. There were several of us from the United States who were there studying with Lauren Artress in the use of the ancient design of the labyrinth for prayer and meditation. We were there for several days, and we met a local restaurant owner, a woman who would come and walk the labyrinth with us every day and pray with us. She was one of those people that seemed to have an aura around her, and it invited you to want to know more about this woman. On the last night of our stay, several of us went to her restaurant for dinner. And at the end of the meal, she came over to our table and invited us to follow her as she had something that she wanted to share with us. She had only owned the restaurant for a few years, but the building that housed her restaurant was literally over 300 years old. It was perched on a side of a hill in the city, overlooking this lovely river that was a thoroughfare that through the centuries had brought many visitors to Chartres and the surrounding community. So she guided us down a narrow flight of steps, revealing a level where there were several caves, and in these caves, literally hundreds of bottles of dust-covered wine lay there. It was an incredible wine cellar. Then she led us to another flight of stairs down again to another level where there were huge rounds of cheese mellowing and maturing. And then down another level where sausages and specialty cuts of meat were hanging to be cured. All of the levels provided an abundance of fare for each night's menu. We turned and started back up the stairs thinking that was all that we were going to see. And she said, "No, I want to show you one thing more." With that, she grabbed a candle. And her little light illumined a very small opening in the floor. And as we looked down, we could see an old wooden ladder. She asked us to follow her to the place below, where there were a few chairs in a small circle. And she placed the candle in the middle. And then she began to tell us the story of that place. That over the centuries, it had been used as a place of confinement, of torture, of punishment. If anyone in the community was caught stealing or breaking the law in any way, they would find themselves literally in the darkness, in that hole. Thankfully, a more humane form of justice changed how they used that space over the years, but when our friend bought the restaurant, it was still a dark hole, filled with memories of even greater darkness. At least until our restaurant friend felt compelled to pay attention to that space, and she began to envision something other than darkness. She started going down all of those flights of stairs early every morning before dawn to begin her day in prayer. She prayed in that space. She prayed for her community. She prayed for the visitors that would come to the cathedral and walk the labyrinth. And she prayed for the people that she would serve in her restaurant. And she prayed for the transformation of that space that had been a place of darkness to become a place of light. She was paying attention to what could not necessarily be seen with just her eyes, but what she could envision as she approached the space with an openness to the mystery of the holy. That place became her sanctuary, her place of prayer and healing. Before the evening was over, she excused herself to go and get one of those dusty bottles of wine, to open it and bring it back to our circle with a warm loaf of bread. And there in the candlelight, we sang together, some in English and some in French. We prayed together, held in the mystery of God's presence, and then we shared in Holy Communion, one of the greatest sacred mysteries of all. It was an evening of wonder and possibility, and it will always be a holy wow moment for me. And I will always be grateful to one woman who could perceive a way to create a place, a space, where holy wows could be experienced by others. I want to live in ways to help others see God and experience the presence that is within us and without us and all around us. I want to have eyes to open to all of the ways our God awes us. I pray I will never fail to be amazed at a sunset or stop looking for moments that take my breath away. And I pray that prayer for you. May all of your days and your prayer life be filled with holy wows. Amen.
I sing the